Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, producing and engineering and contributing. We are loaded up. Time to react to Saturday. You've had a couple of days to think it over, wrestle your emotions. And maybe some of you aren't as emotional anymore. We can discuss that. The phone line is there for you, a chance to chime in. Tap the line, Chillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House if you like. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio. First segment's all you if you want to participate. If not, I get it. You are wearing thin with games and losses in big moments. I'll tell you why that second half happened. We'll tell you why that first half went down like it did. A man on the scene for it, back from Oregon, partner in crime Saturday mornings. Mark Kranak will be with us in 15 minutes. Get his take on his experience in Oregon, what he thought, what he saw. We talked to him Friday, and he was on the money. Nebraska needs to absorb that first energy surge from Oregon, and it lasted quite a bit. Nebraska did absorb it somehow and put a second half together that gave them a chance to win. 1 hour from now, Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, will join us. Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio, legendary defensive coordinator for Nebraska. We'll get coach's take on the Oregon game, this defense, in moving forward. A man that was just tremendous on Saturday, Mick Stoltenberg from Gretna, nose guard, did such an incredible job against the run. We had a chance to get caught up with Mick Stoltenberg today, so you'll hear from Mr. Stoltenberg in hour two. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Here's the nuts and bolts of Saturday. You have a loss like that where you come all the way back and it wasn't to be. And there were so many opportunities for Nebraska within that game. As fast as Oregon started, as bad as Nebraska played, to not only take this game, tie it, but win it. It was there for the taking. And Riley, and we'll hear from Coach Riley here in a minute, he still, the term he used today was sick. And he should be sick about it. Are you sick about it as a Nebraska fan? Or are you good with Saturday? Maybe not the loss, but the comeback. Did that soften it for you? Or are you the other way right now? The fact that you got put in this position and you're tired of seeing it. For whatever reason, in big games, aside from the Wisconsin game last year, and even that was a 10-point deficit until you got a couple turnovers and forced overtime. But for the most part, in big games, there's just something that isn't clicking. And it's the fact that there hasn't been one that's been won. They haven't won a big game for a long time. I know the every game is a big game. I get that. But I'm talking on the road, a game of this type showdown, and you beat Oregon a year ago. I get it. Here's my thoughts, man. I think Taggart and I think Oregon, I think their offense, I think some of their players on defense, I think Oregon's probably a 7-win team, 8-win team maybe. I think they have some talent. I think they're okay, but they aren't going to be SC. They aren't Washington. They're not Stanford. They're not Washington State. Kind of running out of Pac-12 teams I give a damn about, but there's where I'm at. You got beat by a team that is okay, but very beatable. And how did you get beat on Saturday? You got beat by youth, your own and theirs. Nebraska and their defense and this transition, they are playing so insecure. They're playing so safe. They are playing so afraid to make a mistake. They are playing 8 steps slow because they're thinking. And I know by game 6 and by game 10 and by game 12, it'll be a different story. It's part of the growing pains, part of the transition, part of the process. I understand that. But it was there to be won for you. And what happened in the second half? 2 things. One, Oregon kind of took their foot off the gas. Let's burn some clock. 8 pass attempts. Let's run the football. And Nebraska's run defense manned up and stopped the run. Good on them. And that's also kind of point the finger at Oregon there for not sticking with what had been working. That's play action. That's diversity. That's getting guys in space. Nebraska got a little bit better, but Oregon got a lot worse. As nice as the defense was in the second half to shut them out, Oregon wasn't as sharp because they got comfortable. They built a 42-14 lead. That is wearing on you as a Nebraska fan, and I get it, that end-of-game score and stats are being put up on you in the first half. There's a whole slew of situational football to get into, too, that has not been kind. But back to the youth thing for a second. Thomas Graham is a freshman. Thomas Graham had 2 interceptions. Thomas Graham D'd up Nebraska's best wide receiver pretty much to a stalemate. You can make a good argument that as a true freshman, you shouldn't get 2 picks. You shouldn't be that difference-making against a guy like Stanley Morgan. Justin Herbert is a sophomore. Justin Herbert threw for 3 Bills in the first half and had 21 out of 25 completions or something around those lines. 19 to 24, you get my point. He had all day to throw. He had all day to throw against a zone coverage or linebacker matchups. Again, this defense right now is afraid to make mistakes in their thinking. What'd they do in the second half? They said, screw it, I'm going to play for pride. We're going to let it all hang out. We're going to give great effort. And we're not going to play afraid. And it worked out. They need to start doing that to begin the game. Because guess what? You're going to get beat. And you're going to get embarrassed on some plays within this new defense. It's a fact of life. It's going to happen. The goal is for it to decrease as the game goes on or the season goes on. So you might as well go play fast. And if you're going to make a mistake, do it quickly. Bring some heat. Apply some pressure. Dylan is a freshman wide receiver for them. He had a touchdown. He had 80 yards receiving. So I've listed off 2 freshmen and a sophomore that did Nebraska in. How are Nebraska's young guys doing? Well, your secondary is okay. I mean, I thought Lee had a bounce back game. Lamar had a tough first half. Okay in the second half. At linebacker, you got isolated, and it didn't work out so well for you. Spielman had a nice catch on 3rd down. Lindsey was kind of non-existent. Oregon beat you because of their youth. Their young guys stepped up and were difference makers in the game. Nebraska's young guys either got beat or weren't much of a factor. But Nebraska's experienced guys in these big moments, in this showdown non-conference game, did not play like they've played in big games before. And they have. And they've played well in big games before. Trey Bryant was pretty good. Newby and Young were okay. Mick was nice. Antonio Reed's been around a while. He played well. Aaron Williams was good. Bryant was nice. Stanley and DeMornay each had their moments. But also, Tanner Lee. Guys played a lot of football. It's not just on him. But it can be on him at times, too, with making some throws. And he was high a lot of times. That can't happen. You can't be outplayed and out-executed by a sophomore. He needs to get better. He knows that. You think he will if you're a Nebraska fan. DeMornay, guy is so electric, so important, so game-changing. What happens? You got just a brutal penalty on 4th and short. that can cut this thing to a touchdown difference. What happens? It's a 21-point swing. Defense has got to go out and stop them. The point is, on fourth and short, you can't have a false start penalty. That's a killer. I can't say how momentum flipping that play was. And then there's an opportunity here. End of the game, you get another stop, and you have a punt return set up. And this guy has done it. He has lived it. You remember the Michigan State game. Remember the game against Iowa. He is made for these moments. And you're down 7. You got 2:50 left or 2:15 left. What happens the next play? You get hit, interception, ball game. But Pearson L is there, and a fair catch is called for. And he's killing himself for it. He is still bitter about it. He wants the do-over. I get it. But, man, he's got to take that and be selfish. Be selfish. Give your guys a chance. Give your team a chance to throw a knockout punch and tie this thing up. You've done all you can to climb back. You've been sporadic on offense. Your quarterback is 4-13. Your running back's icing his knee. Situationally, you got to catch that punt. Hell or high water, make a move, get down the sideline, and do what you are elite at doing. Any fair caught it. Kalu, he is questionable this week. He is a guy that has been switched to safety, so it's still new for him and to him. But Kalu is supposed to be your best tackler in the secondary. He had a rough and tough game. He had just a tough, tough game when it came to making tackles in space. He had a tough game in coverage on that second touchdown. These are all guys that are seniors or juniors or have played a ton of football for you. And in this ball game, DeMornay kept with it. Huge touchdown grab to get on the board. 2 touchdowns for Stan. But they made some plays the other way that they usually don't make and that they can't make in a game like this. Meanwhile, to start the game off, Oregon's young guys, the quarterback Graham, the wideout Dylan, the quarterback Herbert, were ice. There's your difference. At what point will Nebraska get beyond these cobwebs or slow starts or self-infliction in a big game? And Riley's just PO'd about it. And he should be, because these guys are better than that. So are you good with Saturday? Hey, the team came back, almost won. It's a work in progress season. I wasn't expecting to win it anyway. At least they stopped the embarrassment, played with some pride. I'm okay with it. If that's you, fine. If you're over it and wake me up when it's Wisconsin, then we'll talk. I get it too. Because right now, as a Nebraska fan, you're seeing the expectation, the hope, and the hype of a big game to come out on top, and it's just not happening. And it can, and it may still this season, but it's awful tough to take the way that thing starts, the numbers that are put up yardage-wise, and then you come all the way back because you have a bunch of gutsy kids just to fall short. It's not like Miami a couple years ago. Again, that was a transition year one of a defense. Someday, the offense and the defense will get things figured out. They'll work together, and they'll go win a big game. That one was just hair-pulling if you're a Nebraska fan on Saturday, because it's a game you could have had, probably should have had, based on how you finished off Oregon in the second half. You were in your own way. Not so much of what Oregon did. Chris has been on hold. Chris, welcome into Hail Varsity. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I guess you had asked maybe for some commentary surrounding Lee, and given the small sample size, clearly he has to play a lot better. Mm-hmm. But what I do like his I like his stones. I think the kid's got guts to try and make call or throws that some people maybe wouldn't try. So clearly, I think that what did he finish? Just shy of 50% completion.
Well, he was 19 of 41.
Yeah. So. That needs to be up probably around 60%, give or take. And if we get two of those picks back, I think we win that game. So
no, absolutely, absolutely. And two of them weren't his fault, but that kind of goes to it. Two of the picks were were just brutal. From his playmaking upperclassmen teammates that you just can't have in a big game like that.
So that's, like I said, we've only seen him for two games now. Does the kid have the talent?
Absolutely, he's absolutely got the talent, but to put him in position to be, Tanner Lee, 10 play, 95 yard drive, you got to be ready to run the football. And Nebraska was good and scored when they ran the football or had good first downs. When they asked him to throw on first down, it was rough.
Yep.
So, and there's got to, and he felt it too. Chris, thanks for the call. There were some plays that he forced, and he'd tell you he forced. Go back and nitpick. There were some plays there that he forced and that he'd want back. But you need to also kind of pick your battles with the check down. We haven't seen any throws to the running back, hardly at all. Non-screen, I saw 17,000 check downs to the running back in practice this fall and in the spring. And he just, Lee is super talented. He's really good. He needs help. He's got to be better. They got to be better. When will that happen for Nebraska? Your thoughts on Oregon? You good with Saturday? As far as the comeback, were you sick that they didn't finish it off? Mark Kranak was in Oregon. He'll join us next on Hail Varsity Radio.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Coming up in about an hour and change, Mick Stoltenberg will be with us, Hail Varsity Radio, less than an hour. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, are you good with Saturday? You're proud of the guys for coming back, almost won at Oregon? Or are you, you hacked off. They didn't finish the job. The start was too big a grave to crawl out of, and when will that cease? We welcome in Mark Kranak with Hail Varsity Weekend Edition. Kranak was out in Oregon and is now back from Duckland. Mark, you crushed it on Friday with the how does Nebraska respond to an early Oregon surge? My, oh, my, they had quite an early Oregon surge. Five plays, 70 yards, third and eight. Let's go up top for 32 yards, touchdown, interception. Couple plays later, you blink, it's 14-0. Did you have your first soda down before they got done kicking that second extra point?
No comment on that part. I may or may not have had a few by then. But I'll tell you what, man, it's not like that was a super unique take. I'm not saying it, but it went.
No, but it was right on.
Right. The question you asked on Friday was, how does Oregon win? It's like, well, Oregon wins by jumping on Nebraska early, changing the entire complexion of what Nebraska wants to do offensively, and putting, hey, I know he's Joe Montana, but it is still his second game in a Nebraska uniform after playing a year off and playing at basically a Division I AA school before that. You're taking him on the road, one of the most hostile environments. You got a bevy of young receivers. It's not a good scenario for Nebraska to have to play catch up to anybody, let alone Oregon, right? And so the fact that they even got close at the end, I think, does legitimately say something about what the team is capable of. But it's just too much. It's way too much to overcome when you spot them that big of a lead.
It was too much to overcome, and I thought Oregon's young guys outplayed Nebraska's veterans, and I throw Tanner Lee in that veteran group because he's played a lot of football and he's 22 years old. I know DeMornay and Stan had good responses, and DeMornay's touchdown catch was top 10 awesome. Kalu also has played a lot of football, and I know he got dinged. All that said, Thomas Graham, the freshman cornerback, D'd up Stanley extremely well. Herbert looked incredible. He's a sophomore. Dylan had a touchdown and some nice plays in the passing game for Oregon at wideout. Those three young guys for Oregon did work, did big-time work against Nebraska. And Nebraska's veterans, for lack of a better term, had okay to good games, but they had some moments they want back.
Yeah, and you're right. There are – Nebraska does have some veterans. But let's not forget just a few weeks ago how we were talking about what do we know about Nebraska. We can hope, we can read, we can prognosticate, we can
deduce that certain things are going to happen. But basically all we knew about the offense was that the line had some experience and that Stanley Morgan is a productive receiver. That's about it. Like, going into the year, that's all we knew. We thought, hoped, that Tanner Lee would be really good. But look at his numbers right now. 52% completion, just like they were at Tulane. Not saying that won't get better, but let's just not forget that the dude just played his second game. And I know he's an older guy, he's a veteran, he's, you know, all the pundits think he's got an incredible amount of talent. You don't want to discount any of that. But when you are quarterbacking Nebraska at Oregon on national TV and you've never done anything like that, it's going to take a little bit, right? Like, I don't think this guy's, you know, you're not just born, I don't think, with that kind of poise. You have to go through it. And he lost his poise a little bit in that game. I mean, let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. He wasn't stepping into throws as much. He was letting the ball sail a lot more than he has prior, a lot more than we saw in the spring game, a lot more than we saw at Arkansas State, which is all we've seen. So, you know, I don't think you can count him as a veteran guy yet. I think you can count Nick Gates as a veteran. I think you can count Tanner Farmer as a veteran. I think you can count Stanley Morgan as a veteran. And to a certain degree, Demorde Pearsonell, but he's been injured so often that I don't even know if you could say that. That's what you were rolling with at Oregon. You know, Tyler Hoppus, for as much as everybody expected him, didn't see the field last year. J.D. Spielman never played a snap before last Saturday, right, or before two Saturdays ago. Tyjon Lindsey wasn't even playing high school ball at this time last year because he was injured. I mean, that's who you're rolling with right now. Trey Bryant, what did he have, like 20 carries last year? Right? Like, these aren't – this is not a grizzled veteran team, and that's a tough place to play. So the fact that they made it close, I think, does say something, but I don't understand the putrid starts, man. I just – it's so hard to understand how – you know, you look at some of the passing statistics right now nationally, like pass defense. Nebraska's 128th. In the country in pass defense, and Ohio State's 129th, right? So it can happen to anybody. They're considered the second best team in the country, but it just boggles your mind when you look at how many resources are pumped in. The level of recruiting, Nebraska is not elite level recruiting, but they are absolutely upper crust. They're perennial top 20, top 25. The fact that they can rank basically last in any category is I can't get over it. I don't understand. It doesn't compute. Like, it does not make sense why a team that essentially has top 20 to top 25 talent and presumably really good coaches that you're paying a lot for, how can you end up last in like anything?
It doesn't make sense. It's not the return you're expecting on the talent nor the investment, but they're trying to play, they're playing scared, and they're playing not to make a mistake, and they're playing, they hope they're doing X, Y, and Z right versus just going out and doing it, and they kind of went out and said the hell with it in the second half. They just said, I mean, that we're down, we're going to go play hard, we're going to play each play one play at a time. I mean, that's what was told to us today. Mo Berry was awesome. He's like, hey, you got to be fearless. And they weren't being fearless in the first half. They were afraid to make a mistake. Yeah. They were afraid to give up a big play. And you might as well, you're giving up the big plays anyway. Oregon had 9 of them, for the love of God. 20 plus, you know, gash plays, a 50-yarder, a 40-yarder, a lot of 30-yarders. I mean, and the timing of it from them going 7-14 on third down wasn't just the fact that they converted it. They hit you hard on the money down. So they need to make a decision and keep getting better and just start games off confidently. And you can take some confidence with you that they didn't score on you or put up even 200 yards on you in the second half. But they just got to go out there and just kind of dictate versus react. And I don't know if that's doable in this precision defense. Maybe in a year, when you got better understanding. Maybe in a year when you got better personnel or more personnel or different personnel that fit better. But right now, they just can't. they can't be afraid. They just got to go do their thing, and if they get beat, they get beat.
Well, all right, let's go glass half full on this thing, because I know what you're saying, and it's kind of weird to have to talk about essentially the psychology of the team, right? It's basically what we're discussing here is this, because physically they don't want for anything.
No,
like let's right, like there's like you'll take Mick Stoltenberg on your team, right? Yes, mm-hmm. And a lot of schools would have. You'll take Lamar Jackson. A lot of schools recruited him. Yeah, I mean, just go pretty much across the board outside of Chris Weber and Luke Gifford, right? Like, those guys were not highly recruited, but they're pretty damn good, right?
So yes.
To a man defensively, I'm not too worried physically. I'm worried physically if you're a middle linebacker covering a track star down the field.
And he was put in position to do that a couple of times because they're in base defense.
Well, and I'm actually just thinking of this now, but you notice how little we saw of Alex Davis in this last game? Did he even play?
He was on the field for some field goal blocks, but, I mean, no, when it came to third down, I mean, they had Newby and Gifford on the field a ton.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and so, again, glass half full. Look, you're having to learn about, in practice, when these guys are practicing, they're all gifted athletes. Right, they know what the call is. There's no pressure, right? Outside of the pressure you're putting on yourself, I'm sure some of those guys look incredible at practice. Like, if you just see Lamar Jackson walk, you're like, damn, that dude's an athlete, right? You know, like, I'm sure he's making some crazy good plays in practice and things like that. But you don't know what you got until you get him in a game situation. And so, glass half full, if you're Diaco, look, I mean, I'm not trying to put Alex Davis on blast. I just think he's a tweener body size-wise, body shape-wise, for this particular defense. But they saw what he did in the game at Arkansas State, and so Diaco's taking notes. He's like, can't do that anymore. So he's learning his personnel still. He's learning who can respond in the fire. They don't have any game tape to even go off of with half these guys.
Nope.
Right? They don't have any game tape of Lamar Jackson outside of not very good play last year. Mm-hmm. You know, game tape of Eric Lee because he never played. You just don't have a lot of Luke Gifford, and I'm really glad you brought up the confidence angle and the sort of like playing freely, because who's the one guy that does that? I'm not even going to lead you into that. Like, when I say who is playing freely and aggressively,
I think Gifford and Carlos. Those are the two
there
guys.
Yep, and everybody, you're right. It's Luke Gifford. I mean, he jumps off the page. He mm-hmm. jumps off the screen. It's like, God, why isn't everybody playing like that? And hopefully the glass half full, they will. They're trying to figure things out. Let's not forget either, man. Like, you talk about confidence. I mean, that's what Oregon oozes. You know? I mean, you see it especially in person. Like, they are not lacking for confidence. They are not lacking for speed. And if you... Again, glass half full. You look at what Nebraska, with a really young secondary and linebackers that they're trying to figure out what they're doing at linebacker right now and who are going to be the guys and who aren't. You go against Arkansas State and damn near 70 passes in week one. Okay, that's baptism by fire. And then you follow it up by going to pretty much what most people understand is the fastest team in America.
They are pretty good. Kranak, I got 30 seconds before we got to step out. We will no doubt hit this some more Saturday, but 10 seconds, was it worth the trip for you to go?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes, it was good. I wasn't saying that at halftime, but in the end, yes, sir.
Mark Kranak at Mark Skurs on Twitter is where you find him and follow him. Kranak, we'll do this again, brother. That was fun. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, Chris. Thanks, man. Talk
Take
later.
Care. There he is, Mark Kranak, back from Oregon. As we talk Nebraska, Oregon, Coach Riley will chime in next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good to get caught up with Mark Kranak. You've been trying to get through. We got an open segment for you, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House. Your thoughts on the Oregon game, and do you see it as a missed opportunity? Or really, frankly, that Nebraska was lucky to be in it. 1 hour from now, Mick Stoltenberg, Husker nose guard, going to be with us. Kranak loved his time out there. We'll hear more from him about his trip to Oregon and his experience at the game this weekend with the weekend edition. But plenty to get to. Mike Riley is clearly the missed opportunity camp. Very, very much so, with looking at that game, seeing where they came back from, and a chance to win it. And the truth about this team, too, is they'll be better. And I'm going to go, I'm a historical guy. I'm not living or looking in the past, but I look at things and I try and kind of equate them to situations you've seen in sports. And 2008 was a really rough year until Nebraska, you know, kind of found their groove. That first year of Bo. And I know there's not a massive Bo contingent anymore. I get that. But that team got better with Joe Gans. They just did. That defense got better with Sue and company. They were incredible the following year. They didn't have a quarterback after Gansy left. But right now, this is kind of, and I thought Brandon Vogel nailed it, kind of a grow-up year. You're going to take it on the chin, and Nebraska has shown that their chin is made of steel, right, defensively. I mean, you can't take many more shots than they did, only to respond and look completely different. The key now is to put it together. But here is Mike Riley on the disappointment of Saturday with this team.
The reality of it, watching the film on Sunday or on the way back on the plane, it's really disappointing. Really feel like a lost opportunity. It was a disappointing game. I just think we all can get more from what we do.
He is sick. He's not going to overreact. He's not going to fly off the handle. He's not going to go Brian Kelly. He is super, super professional. But just listen to his tone. And this was even kind of more of a revelation, just as far as how probably upset he is that they didn't win that football game. You know, he was asked today, you know, are the guys going to be able to be ready and bounce back for an 11 o'clock game? How's this week going to go? How do you respond from Oregon? He got pretty real today.
We should be so hungry to practice today. We should, when they look at that video, or if they haven't yet, they should just be sick. And they should want to get out there and work to be better than that. And that, so whatever, I don't care if we're playing the Green Bay Packers or whatever, it should be about us knowing we can be better.
He is sick again, just sick. The missed throws, the inconsistency on offense. You'd put a couple of touchdown drives together. You had four straight three and outs in the first half. You didn't quite have three and outs in the second half. But after your first two touchdown drives, defense gets the football back for you. You're not complimenting each side of the ball. Your special teams, I mean, he is flat out incensed by what took place special teams-wise. And I don't blame him for it. Between, and specifically the punt return situation, you've got one of the best there is in the country back there. He needs it to be better. He wants it to be better. Third down. Let's talk a minute here about third down and situational football. They practice the heck out of it. They do. And right now, Nebraska is as putrid as you want to be on third down. 32%. That's the year total. They were 2 of 14 on Saturday. How was Oregon? 7-14. I was about said Northern Illinois. We've got plenty of time to get into the mighty Huskies. I was Alabama or Arkansas State. See, I'm already screwing up my Sun Belt teams. I was Arkansas State. Great. Nebraska is giving up 52% conversion percentage on third down to teams. So if you're preaching a no-crease defense where you don't get gashed in the run game and you're protecting the big play on defense from your corners and safeties and linebackers, you have to get off the field. Nebraska is not getting off the field. Nebraska is not getting after the quarterback. They need to make a decision to be aggressive because you're getting beat anyway, at least by teams like Oregon with their speed and their ability to match you up and exploit it. Be smart, but risk it. Be a little more risky because your three-man rushes aren't getting home. And you did put some hits on Herbert. It was after the ball was already out of his hands. And by the way, perfectly thrown. There were some plays that dude was just incredible with how he got in there on Nebraska's secondary. More from Coach Riley. Cut 16 right here. And maybe you wonder the devotion to the run game. But Riley gets it, and Riley knows what they need to be. And Saturday showed you where Nebraska can go. If they are running the football great on first down, again, back to situational football, it resulted in points for them on Saturday. It'll result in points for them moving forward with this season. If they run the football well on first down, and it's Trey Bryant doing it, that's got to be key.
No matter how you cut it, remember that stat I told you guys about turnovers and running the ball? What percentage? If you win those two things in a game, you got a 94% chance to win the game in the Big Ten. That's pretty good. And so teams want to run the ball. You know, you might win the game if you throw for 350 yards, but if you've run for 350, you've probably won the game.
Don't turn it over. Four interceptions. Run the football. Do so emphatically. You were able to do it when Trey was in there. Aches and pains from the weekend because of running or that pickup game. Maybe you're gardening. Maybe you're out camping. Well, I want to tell you about Madonna Therapy Plus. And if you're feeling the effects of your weekend activities on the trail, on the gridiron, out in the campsite, maybe from tailgating, schedule an appointment today with Madonna Therapy Plus. They're your answer to get the results you need and to get back being the weekend warrior you know you can be and want to be. Whether it's physical or occupational therapy, Madonna therapists have the latest technology and equipment to get you back on the trail. Voted Lincoln's top choice when it comes to physical therapy the last 10 years. Three locations in Lincoln. Log on today. TherapyPlus.org. Get back. All right, we'll wind down hour one with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Saturday was what to you? A missed opportunity? Or Nebraska lucky to be in it? Mo Berry spent some time today at the press conference, and you know, we asked him the difference between the first half and the second half. Here's linebacker Mo, and you know what? I think he's pretty bright here on the future with, you know, what this team, this defense can become. But he was pretty insightful to that first and second half change.
Difference between the first and the second half, just focus and aggressiveness. You know, we was fearless. We had nothing to lose the second half, so we was playing with for our pride, playing for our school, for many of the players on the field, for their city. So just the second half, you know, people knew every play was a game-winning play. So if we had high expectations, if we fell less of that, it was not acceptable, you know, because we was not about to give up no more touchdowns.
Mo Berry. So it kind of comes down to psyche. We spent some time with Kranak on that, and they they just don't know, they being the defense, they being the team, they don't consistently know right now how to go out and perform in big games early, successfully. They'll find a way. They'll stay in it. They'll play hard. They might even upset Michigan State. It's 2 years ago. And Wisconsin last season. And they beat Oregon last season. But when push comes to shove, man, what's their trust level like, even in themselves? I think they like their coaches for the most part. And I think they feel pretty good about what's being coached. But they got to go do it. And again, that game experience that Diaco talks about, that Riley talks about, until it happens, you know, is it going to be better? You mean, because you've got a chance to, okay, build off the second half, finish, be sick about the loss, go take it out on Northern Illinois, ramp up, because I mean, you got a month till Wisconsin, you got a month till Ohio State. You can make it right by then, will you? Then you've been in school for 14 years. You're a senior. I'm proud of you. You're going to grad. I mean, he's like 14, whatever, man. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a broadcast guy. But you've been coming to Nebraska games since Amir's freshman year.
Right.
Right? And you're like, what in these big games?
Like I've said before, I came in here expecting a lot from Nebraska, you know, knowing how big of a school it is. But I've always had that sense of I've never been comfortable with them in any big game, even when you know, Amir was here and whatnot, and it's kind of gotten worse. Like you had your prediction, what was it, like 41-29 or something?
That 13-point ball game.
Yeah, and I agreed with that. So in the first half, I was like, okay, this is going to be even worse than, you know, we all thought. And they came back, and I was excited for that, as most people are. But like you said, they say they have confidence in themselves, but what's going to make them have confidence the whole game rather than just in the second half?
It's easy to get off to a great start,
right,
and it doesn't get to 42-14.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, and look at me, all going, you know, moral victory card here, and that isn't me at all, ever. But the reality is, I mean, it could have been 62-3.
Right.
And it wasn't. That's on the players. And that staff, again, pride. Go out there and play for your brothers in the locker room and the guys who came before you. They did that. Guy who preaches that and will tell us about this defense, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, is next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
It's hour two. It's Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. The pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, is producing and engineering, contributing. There's another man on the line right now that's also the pride of Chicago. He might fight with you on that one, Danny. It is Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride joins us this time on Mondays to recap the wins and losses. And, Coach, thanks for the time. How are you?
Good. Doing good. Same old, same old. Getting cold in Michigan.
Yeah, it's not quite there for us, but it's getting a bit chillier. Not today, but eventually. It's been a pleasant September. I'll just leave it at that.
And, yep.
So
you got that right.
It's been pleasant. Now, that second half must have been more pleasant to watch than the first half. Let's dive into Oregon and Nebraska, Coach. And what were your takeaways? What did you think of the ball game?
Well, the first half, I mean, it's self-explanatory. You know, it was a tough deal. And, it's hard when you go away and you got young kids, first time they've ever been away, and it's not like wild, like, you know, they're loud, but it's not like being in Lincoln, and it's an adjustment, and you have to make it yourself. You can't have somebody talk you into doing something that your body doesn't do. So, you know, each guy's responsible for, you know, getting themselves ready to play on anything away from home. And but the second half, what was, you know, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people have said this, they played probably with maybe their two best football players not playing, really.
Yeah.
You know, not let them score, and you turn it around the other way, and you take the 14 points off. They just jumped on them right at the beginning, and it goes the other way. So, you know, it's coming. I think the second half was an indication that maybe the lights are starting to get turned on. And you know, and the other thing I heard it. He made a statement on a little quip that I heard that, you know, they made some adjustments at halftime, and in other words, it sounded like they cut out a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, and just went with some pretty much took a lot of the defense out, where it wasn't maybe check defenses where they had to check with motions or shifts or whatever the case is sometimes. And that makes a big difference. And so, you know, I don't know the real answers to that, but mm-hmm. But I was encouraged the second half. Even in the first half, I still go back to the same thing. You know, they played hard, and it'll all work out. I mean, that's just the way things go. You just keep trucking, and as long as you don't get any cancer that sets in, you know, with the teams, the offense this and the defense this, mm-hmm. and you know, sometimes younger players have a tendency to blame other people, and so you want to keep that part of it out, because once one or two guys starts, it goes to three or four guys and five or six guys, and pretty soon you got a bunch of non-believers, and a lot of times it's those guys that aren't getting the ball as much as they should or playing as much. And so sometimes you got to be careful when you have a loss like that.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, you mentioned that whole belief, non-believer, when it comes to the system, the buy-in. And we had a chance to talk with Mick Stoltenberg. That'll be on shortly.
Uh-huh.
And the halftime was all about the players. I mean, yeah, Diaco and the defense spoke, but it was more the peers and the players talking mm-hmm. about pride and ownership and accountability. That's all well and good. You want that, but when it actually happens, it's pretty real. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. I think when the players, you know, they have to, first of all, you know, I've always said this, they have to decide what kind of football team, you know, they want to have. You know, coaches can do all the coaching and all the talking and all that stuff, but when it comes right down to it, you know, that locker room is theirs. And, in fact, we were encouraged to stay out of it as much as we could, because it's their house. And, you know, you know, that's a good indication of guys sticking up for each other, or, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to stand up, and usually sometimes it's some of the guys that are more respected, maybe, or vice versa. It just never works. When you got somebody talking that nobody respects, sometimes it doesn't work. But if you have somebody that the players respect and listen to, and you know, to get it started, and that may have been a start to it, you know, having a little conversation with each other, and I think a lot of times, even coaches that haven't been at Nebraska before, whether you're the defensive coaches, some of them haven't really, you know, been on the field where with total responsibility like they have. I think there's, what, two or three guys that are all new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the players, probably a lot of them that have been there, that even aren't Nebraska kids, that know what it's all about, that know what's expected, you know, even maybe more than anybody. And so I think that, you know, that could be part of the scene too. But I know in the second half, you know, and I know that Stoltenberg was a little bit hard to handle in the second half. So, you know, he's going to have to play like that all the time now. I mean, he can't just decide he's going to go out there and, you know, play brownies and fairies. He's got to go out and play smash mouth and do something that, you know, that gets people going. and make plays, and that's what does it. I don't, you know, all this stuff, well, the secondary's young. They're going to come along. I mean, it's going to happen. And, you know, hopefully we don't have too many injuries that are real bad, but, you know, we sure would miss, you know, Bryant, and you know, as a running back, I think he's probably set himself in there, and you don't know what that's ever going to turn out to be. I haven't heard anything. You probably know more than I do.
It's the same thing he's had, and that's just a troubling knee, but it's not a knee injury. They just got to – he'll be able to play, but they just got to watch the mileage, so to speak, on it. And when he went down, the way he got hit, it aggravated it because he had ran the ball – extremely well to that point, and anytime they ran well on first down, it set up a play action and somewhere along a drive, and all their first down positive gains through the run game led to scoring drives. When they went away from that, it got a little hairy and they had to kick. Coach, I wanted to get your take here on the defense, and what I noticed is this, and you're way smarter about it than I am, but you had some young guys or some newer guys for Oregon really step up and play well. Their cornerback was a freshman. He really played well against Nebraska's more experienced receivers. You had another young wide receiver for Oregon do well, and Herbert's just a sophomore, their quarterback. He started the last half of last year when their other guy busted up his thumb, so he did have about a half year under his belt. That said, Herbert was dynamite in that first half. The run game helped him be balanced, obviously. Nebraska had guys that were – they played a lot of football and on offense and defense that had tough first halves, and they came back okay in the second half. Does it look to you like the defense is – the kids are just trying to be too perfect or just they're unsure? What do you think it looks like?
Well, that's the question. I mean, neither one of us know. I mean, and I've always said this. You know, it's a simple saying. It's been heard by many. It's you can't run anything that that a kid that's the least, you know, get hardest to learn or whatever it is. That, I don't want to say that.
Coach?
You know, Swift is picking up.
Okay.
You there?
Yep, we just lost you for a half second, but you're back now.
Well, what happens is that, you know, a lot of times you overdo it as a coach.
Gotcha.
You know, put more in, and I've said this before. A lot of kids are, when you say, does everybody understand it, the younger guys are going to be the ones that aren't going to say, I don't understand it, Coach, because they're embarrassed.
Gotcha.
You know, and so some of it, not all of it, some of it can be that, you know, that. And a lot of them will get in on an individual basis and say, Coach, well, I'm really not sure. But, you know, it's like anything else. When you grow up, if, you know, you get chewed out by the teacher, you know, you feel a little embarrassed sometimes, and you don't really need to it like you should sometimes. So learning is a hard thing. You know, I've said this a thousand times, and I've said it to myself, just be sure you're not overdoing it. And that's, you know, because I always used to tell them, look, I'm not real smart, you know, either. So, you know, you guys can just, you know, blame it on me if I put something in that's, you know, that's over your head. Be sure and tell me. The older guys used to really pick up on that. And if they didn't want to say, Coach, I'm not it, that the younger guys, you would tell them, look, go talk to the older guys. If there's things you don't understand, talk to them. And I think when they understand that, you know, they know each other well enough. They've gone through camp. They've gone, you know, through a couple of games now. And, you know, they're probably more likely to speak up to each other, you know, guys that have played and guys that haven't. And with a new system, you know, like I said, they're all in the same boat, but usually the older guys pick it up quicker.
Coach, what'd you think of the offensive line for Nebraska, and what'd you think of Lee at quarterback?
Well, he started to move it a little bit. Still, he looks still too, just trying too hard a little bit at times. you know. But the offensive line in the second half started really knocking people around, and they haven't really, you know, they didn't do that. I didn't think they're still feeling their way and trying to, even though they know the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a thing where they've all got to lock up and start talking to each other on and off the field, and you know, and really, you know, looking out for each other and things like that. And you know, I think it'll all fall together. And there's players there, okay. And you know, and I think that you know, in my belief is the best is yet to come. And I think they're not tearing up the world defensively, but offensively they seem to be starting to get in the groove. And defensively, the second half of the game is a good example of guys pulling together.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, how do you think the guys will respond on Saturday? They finished the game strong, but it was still, you know, a bitter one to swallow.
Well, I think, you know, it's a learning process again. You know, mm-hmm. I've always said this: players win, and coaches lose.
Mm.
So take it for what it's worth. But you know, that's just the way. I mean, I heard that a long, long time ago. In fact, it was the guy that said it, and I started thinking about it a little bit, and then it was Bill Belichick's father,
mm.
who was a coach at Navy for years and years and years, and. When he said that, you know, I kind of thought about it a little bit, and it's probably correct. I mean, you know, players win and coaches put you out of position, and they lose, or they're doing too much, or there's something, and it usually isn't always the players. You know, you can't blame the players. You know, you're the one that puts them on the field. And so, you know, when you go down and take all the marbles and put them together, coaches are the ones that win and lose football games.
Mm-hmm. Charlie McBride's with us, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll talk again next week. Awesome to spend a few minutes with you. Thanks so much for the time, and keep bundled up there, my friend, if it's getting chilly.
They'll play well this week. I'll promise you that.
I think they are going to, too. I think they will. Coach, we'll talk soon.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thanks, fellas.
Uh-huh. Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach Charlie McBride. That's his insight. He's a pretty smart dude. He's self-deprecating about the what he talks about talking to his guys back in the day about, well, I'm not very – he's brilliant. He's brilliant at motivating. He's good at teaching, and he knows how to get his point across. So you get it, and we'll go execute it. So don't overload. He said that last Monday, and this Monday, who knows how much overload there was, if there was any. But they went out and they played much faster, much more level-headed, much more confidently, and also as the house's money. You're already down 28. Just go get it back little by little, and that's what they did. So we'll spend some more time on Nebraska-Oregon shortly. Mick Stoltenberg is coming up. Nebraska nose guard, his thoughts and reaction to the Oregon game. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Pure-grown diamonds, if you haven't seen them, they're diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're sustainable. They're beautiful. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Go see Rick at 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com, and check out those pure-grown diamonds.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
More thoughts, fallout from the Oregon game. Nebraska build on that finish, or is it still going to be one of these years where Nebraska's defense will kind of be up and down? Will it just be one of those roller coaster seasons after two games? And here's how, if I'm betting, here's how I think things kind of move forward. And I'm basing a lot of this off of Coach McBride. Mick Stoltenberg in 15 minutes on Hail Varsity Radio. The defense will get more comfortable. They'll find adequate to better personnel. And I think what you saw is kind of a glimpse of if guys are hitting on all cylinders, and I'm talking about Stoltenberg, I'm talking about Carlos, I'm talking about Gifford, Antonio Reed. I mean, that dude's been on a milk carton for most of his career here. And he came up huge, forced fumble, pretty good in coverage. And you're Nebraska, and you don't have Kalu, and you don't have Bryant in the second. Well, you don't have Kalu in the second half, and you don't have Bryant after that third quarter scoring barrage, and you don't have him going into the fourth. Then, I mean, to continue the comeback and pull within seven and have a punt return opportunity or 55 yards to go for the tying score, as bad as you played on both sides of the ball, as inconsistent as you played on both sides of the ball, it needs to get cleaned up, and it should. And it needs to, and it should by Wisconsin. It's going to go down as a 7-point loss. It's going to go down as one of those, you know, Miami slash Colorado type first halves where you are absolutely nuked. I mean, how do you respond? Do you crawl back in it, or do you continue to take a beating? And they stopped taking the beating and got back into it. What's Nebraska going to be this Saturday and moving forward? How serious is the Trey Bryant knee? Well, it's very serious. And let's not kid ourselves either. If Nebraska is going to be better and move on from Oregon and be an offense that is consistent, it's going to be by running the football, and it's going to be Bryant doing it. Now, I know that the time and space and score was not ideal to run the football. They had to start chucking it around. But it looked very minimal, in my opinion, that there was a ton of confidence in Wilbon running the football. I mean, there was still time to do so, and they did run it a little bit with him, and I know he got a touchdown, but it didn't even look in the same ballpark as when Bryant was running it. It just didn't. Maybe it'll get better. But let's talk Ezigbo here. And is he a guy that can kind of come back to life in the offense? Is he going to be able to deal with the frustration of not playing and come in and be ready to go? Because that's been the question. What's up with Ziggy, and why isn't he getting the football? Well, they're not going to go with the I-back-by-committee. Good. You're going with the guy you think's the best running back, and he's looked phenomenal, as long as he can stay healthy, and that's the question. Can he and will he stay healthy? No, because he's missed practice this week, likely, multiple times, and he missed practice last week because he's got old man knees, which sucks for him because he's a hell of a player. You got the offensive line that wants to run the football and be good at it, and off of that, you see Tanner Lee at his best. You see Tanner dropping dimes, going 10 plays, 95 yards to the tight end, to Stanley, fade route to Pearsonell. Maybe someday soon you'll see checkdowns. I thought it was going to be checkdown city this year. Haven't seen much of it, if any. Even with Wilbon, it wasn't anything that was brought up. You didn't see running backs catching the swing pass, and it was open. You had some decision-making issues, some forcing the football issues on two of the four interceptions. Two of those weren't Tanner's fault. The other two, don't throw that. Find somebody else that's open. But what's Ziggy going to do? How's he going to address this opportunity if the top guy, Bryant, can't go? Riley addressed the Divine Ozigbo, I call him Ziggy, situation today.
Oh, I think it's really hard for Devine because Devine cares a lot, you know, and I think that it is, it's one of those times that our advice to him is to continue to work, and just like I do any player that gets in this situation, you know, this is, it's hard. He has played. He's a good player. He's worked hard. He has gotten better. So has everybody else. We made a decision. It's outside of anything he can do about it. This is what we decided to do. So what are you going to do? Are you going to pout? How are you going to handle it? What are you going to, if you pout, then when your chance comes, chances are you won't be ready because you've been thinking about this instead of getting ready for that. So it's one of those hard things in life. We acknowledge, I know it's hard because he cares and he works hard and he's a great guy, but he'll be ready.
Lot right there. Are you frustrated? Yeah. Is your attitude the best? No. Are you going to be ready? Coach thinks so. But he has been absent. No carries, no special teams duty, nothing, nada. And he's a guy who came in and body punched along with Amani, UCLA for you. He's a guy that came in, ran his butt off against Tennessee for you. So I hope things get straightened out and figured out for him. You know, another way to look at this football game Saturday, truly and fairly, is to see where the team is at. Where are they offensively? Where are they defensively? Where are they on special teams? Look at it at a whole, not one half or the other, but find the gray area of all of it. Where are they on special teams? Well, you have an All-American kick punt returner that made a couple of questionable decisions. Didn't hurt you on one end because you had a 95-yard touchdown drive. Could have tied the game had he caught it. And I think he will vow to be more aggressive moving forward. It's a new special teams coach for him, too. But that, there's a green light that is always green for DeMornay when it comes to punt return time. So special teams and punting and kickoffs, they were pretty good. Defensively, are you trying to do too much and you're overthinking it with install and then execution as a player? Yes and yes. Are you going to dial back and let guys just kind of go do their thing? Hopefully. Offensively, quarterback's got to be better, and you got to emphasize running the football to put him in success and ability to do that play action, because he is phenomenal off the play action. And guys are running wide open within this offense. It's got to hit him. Didn't hit him. And lastly, your stars got to be stars. Not just against the Arkansas States of the world, or if you're the third option in a loaded wide receiving core with Alonzo or Riley or Westy. I mean, Stan's got to be the best player on the field at wideout. And he's got the talent to be that. Got to be consistent. Got to be good. You can't get owned in the first half by a freshman or a senior. And it wasn't good. Now, to his credit, I mean, last year he got D'd up pretty well against Ohio State and disappeared. He got D'd up extremely well in the first half against Oregon, and he came out and he caught back-to-back touchdown passes. So he responded well. But between him and DeMornay, they've got to play great in big games, and they were not. And they know that, and they'll get better. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Confidence moving forward, though, for Nebraska. They can build on this. We'll see if they do build on this. And by, right, that's the goal, by Wisconsin. It'll be better. They'll be ready. Lesson learned. Yeah, that's the hope. But it's got to be the reality. You need to take this missed opportunity and then go get a win against somebody of substance. Brian Kelly. Let's talk about Brian Kelly for a second. Brian Kelly is 1-9. 1-9 in games decided by a possession or less. His record moved to 1-9 against Georgia. He was asked about the snowball effect.
Obviously, you've made a ton of changes, changed the culture, everything. But obviously, you lost in at the very end, kind of like last year, 7 of 8 losses.
How do you, what's the question?
I'm getting to it.
Get to the question.
How do you keep this from snowballing?
It's like not going to snowball. Next question.
Well, what exactly will be different, I guess?
There's nothing different. I go to work every day, and I coach my football team.
Okay.
Is that good enough for you?
Yes, I was just asking about the how it was different from last year's losing by one possession.
Okay.
And tonight was also like that, so I was just wondering.
Losing by one possession?
Yeah.
No, it was 1 point.
Okay.
Okay, great, thanks.
Oh, if it was him and her in a room that was soundproof, his volume would have gone up to 12 out of 10 like he does with his quarterbacks when they make a bad play. He was teetering Costanza style, ready to lose it. And if you missed the Baker Mayfield flag planting in Columbus, let Fowler relive it for you with some tremendous play-by-play. Baker said he's sorry today. I don't really believe him, but here's the flag planting. It's pretty good.
He's to the 45. He's to the 50.
Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not going to plant it in midfield of the O, is he? Wow. Yes, he is. Ooh. Looks like the Ohio State band has come out of their seats. They didn't like that. There's no one here to defend the O except the band.
Well, is the tuba guy going to step up to Baker? The trombone guy? The jazz flutist? I don't think so. Guy who stepped up huge in the second half, Mick Stoltenberg, Nebraska nose guard, next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A few minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. Nose tackle Mick Stoltenberg is with us. Mick, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing outstanding. Second half, Nebraska really shut down the run game on Oregon. I want to go back to halftime and what was voiced by you, by teammates, as you guys tried to recover.
Definitely just kind of putting the first half behind us and really, really taking pride in fighting in the second half and making sure that we could really try and get a hold of the game. I know Luke came in at halftime and gave a pretty good talk to the defense. I think we were ready. We made our adjustments and ready to go out. I think as a defensive line, we knew they were going to try and run the ball more, try and slow the game down, drive the ball on us. So that was definitely a point of emphasis for us in the second half.
Mick Stoltenberg with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. It seemed like the balance Oregon had in the first half was giving you guys some problems, and they're an extremely explosive offense. From a plan standpoint, were you guys pretty confident going in? Did you feel good, as you got ready for kickoff, that the first half would be okay?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we had a good week of preparation coming in. Obviously, that wasn't very indicative of how the first half went, but we had a plan in place and we prepared hard during the week, and obviously things just didn't really work out that way. Like I said, it was just obviously a tale of two halves. So,
what do you take from the Oregon game?
Obviously, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. There's definitely some things to build on in the second half, like you said, some improvements we made and things like that. But it's definitely more motivation than anything to make sure we prepare harder during the week and we're ready to start off games and things like that don't happen in weeks to come. And we can really start off, setting the tone of the game instead of kind of being there on the receiving end of that. So definitely that is what I take from the game. I think as a defense, we're going to take that, and we're definitely going to take that into our preparation this week.
How do you approach a game of that magnitude? Every game's important, yes, but, it's kind of the highlight non-conference game. How now as a junior do you kind of get the rest of your mates on that defensive line ready to move forward for future games that are pretty high profile?
Just making sure we all study our tape, you know, kind of getting on guys about being up there and setting schemes and things like that, and making sure that we just worry first and foremost about doing our job. Defensive linemen, we're meant to eliminate creases in the run game and obviously get after the quarterback, and I think we just need to make sure that we're getting back to our basic fundamentals, things like that, and really building on that during the weeks.
How comfortable are you now as you head into week three with this scheme shift, with your job and responsibilities? It seems week by week the things get a little bit more familiar. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Obviously, there's nothing like real game experience. These last two games, I've really enjoyed playing in the middle, playing that zero nose. It's been exciting for me. I've enjoyed, you know, taking on some of those challenges, and it's definitely something you build on week to week, and the experience is great.
Tell me some of the challenges you've had to get adapted to with this scheme shift. It's talked about, but you live it because you're going from that forefront, you know, right in front of that center here. What have you gotten better at? What are you feeling good about?
I think I've gotten better at just kind of reading blocks, reading certain blocks if a double team is coming, something like that. Because a lot of times when you're at a zero nose, they'll delay the double team and try and knock you off balance. So it's definitely something I've tried to work on and keeping my base low and really working on that. Just taking on different types of blocks, and I think it's something that, once you see more about it in the game, you'll kind of see how teams try to take on the zero nose, and it's something that you can really learn week by week.
Where technique-wise, what are you proud about right now from either a footwork or a hand placement that you've worked on? And is it any different at the zero versus shading over?
Yeah, it is a little different. I think obviously most centers probably prepare more against the one technique. That's usually what you traditionally see. It's definitely important to just making sure your hands are fast and heavy on the center, because obviously they have to snap the football, so you've already have an advantage there with them getting their hands on you. So that's one thing we've really been emphasizing, is just fast, heavy hands and making sure that we can be strong at the point of attack.
Tell me about Perella, because he was a decade plus in the league as a nose guard, as a native Nebraska guy. You know all this, and he was as well respected as there was in the NFL. How he teaches you, how he connects with you, explain that process.
Yeah, I love Coach Perella. Love what he brings every day. He's never down on energy, never down on motivation. He's never letting us get slack on our technique and things like that. And you know, all the information you're getting is definitely the best. And yeah, he really does. I mean, he really does challenge us every day to bring our best, and that's something we really enjoy as a D-line, and it's something we definitely shouldn't take for granted.
A few more minutes here. Mick Stoltenberg with us, Hail Varsity Radio. With that ball game on Saturday, was there a moment that it flipped, and maybe you can correct me, but was there a moment that you felt out of it completely, or did you ever feel out of the game?
I don't know if I necessarily felt out of it. Obviously, it's hard not to get demoralized when something like that happens. But you know, I try and take every drive as a challenge before I go out there and play. And I think I continue to do that. And then once we came out in the second half, I think we really built drive after drive and kind of continued to get better as the game went on. But you know, I really don't know if I was really mentally defeated throughout the game. I kind of tried to keep my poise and things of that nature, but it's definitely tough when things are down like that. But you know, I am happy about the way I responded, even though still leaves a real bitter taste in your mouth about how the game ended. So,
you know, from lessons in that game to how you guys finished, I mean, that's probably kind of your backbone and character. But Coach Riley said something about this after the ball game, some words he may have had, and you can kind of comment on this, just the address, the character of the room. The score is what it is at halftime. It's kind of up to us and you guys to make it from getting worse and do something about it getting better. From a coaching standpoint, who kind of connected with you at halftime to keep forging forward?
Definitely just some of our leaders on the defense. You know, Chris Weber, Gifford, guys like that were really vocal, kind of spoke up and kind of helped get guys in the right mindset for the second half.
With your position here, spend a minute or two here on the Oregon offensive line, experienced group, guys that kind of took their lumps a year ago, but you know, that was kind of the strength of their team, and you guys shut it down in the second half. How were you able to make some of the plays you made? Because it looked like two or three guys were hanging on you, and you were still there to make a solo tackle with some help from the linebacker.
Right.
How are you able to anchor down like that?
You know, just destroying double teams is something we practice every day. It's really important in the nose guard because you're going to get it. And so just making sure that you turn your shoulders into the double team and can kind of split it and squeeze your way through. And you know the ball is going to be right there once you come through. So you always got to be ready to kind of get down and make the tackle. So it's definitely something we just practice week in, week out. And we try and be physical in practice and try and get the scout team guys to be really physical with the double teams so they can prepare me for the week.
How much time do you spend on taking on double teams?
You know, we spend a little bit of individual time every day with it, but it's mostly kind of doing the team periods when we do the actual scout stuff. You know, when they're running the zone, the inside zones and things like that. It's something you know, I take a lot of pride in. I think is really important for a defensive lineman.
With your ability to take those double teams on, what is your best attribute? Is it the strength? Is it your leverage? Is it your balance? Is it your footwork? If you could pick out one technique you've honed, what helps you defeat those?
Yeah, it's definitely just footwork and in your hands at the point of attack. You know, if you slip up at the point of attack, they're going to take you for a ride. So you definitely have to be ready to kind of get on the guide right away.
Last thought here, Northern Illinois comes to town. How do you expect the defense to respond?
You know, I really do expect us to have a great week of preparation. I'm definitely going to be on the D-line today. When we go out there, I'm going to try and get guys up and get guys ready for the work week. And, you know, I think we'll definitely prepare well. So,
Mick Stoltenberg with us. Mick, take care and thanks.
Thank you.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Big thanks to Mark Kranak, Mick Stoltenberg, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. As we talk to Nebraska, Oregon, Nebraska should have had that one, shouldn't have let it get out of hand. And they'll, as Coach Riley said, be sick about it. See if they move on and get better from it. You'll know by Wisconsin. We'll give you a chance to qualify for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets that giveaway on Thursday. So we'll qualify some folks here in a minute. If you're going out tonight, little Monday night football action, and you plan to have a couple, make sure you get a safe ride home and plan ahead. Because you get caught drinking and driving, you could face a DWI charge that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and in jail time, and you'll be required to install the interlock device to your vehicle. So if you're making plans for tonight or the weekend, make sure you find a sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation Highway Safety Office. Danny, who you got? Saints or Vikings? I love this. One of our favorites, Jeremiah Searle, suiting up tonight for the Vikes. I think Adrian Peterson's miserable. He is now a Saint. So the defense of Minnesota will no doubt try and tee off on him. Pharmacist Jeff, the resident Bronco fan, sent the text in, go Donks. They take on the Chargers. They're always going to be San Diego to me. I know they're L.A. tonight, but it's in Denver. Donkey Land is alive and well right now and probably full of smoke. You lean in one way or the other here. Vikings, Saints, Broncos, Chargers.
I like the Saints in that matchup.
Really?
I do. I'm going to go with the Saints. Well, first of all, Drew Brees is my fantasy quarterback, so I got to root for him right there.
Sure.
So. And I also think Adrian Peterson might have a pretty decent game, actually.
Against the Vikes run defense?
Yeah, I don't know. I could see him. I don't know. He seems
Adrian, full disclosure, is on my bench. So,
all right. Maybe
the way Le'Veon played, I probably should have started them. Denver, San Diego.
Yeah,
no.
I got Denver in that game.
Okay, home field.
Right.
-3 is the number each way, so probably 24-17, 21-17 type ball games tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's get you qualified, callers 9 and 10 right now. Qualify for Northern Illinois, Nebraska tickets and Blur party passes for Saturday. We'll do the drawing on Thursday. One lucky winner, a pair of tickets. And Blur party passes. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies for this drawing on Thursday. Caller 9, caller 10, get in on the 800 line. It's open for you. 1-800-825-5865 or 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Northern Illinois, Nebraska tickets. Qualify for them right now. We'll do the drawing on Thursday. Caller 9 and caller 10 right now qualifies. Danny will take your info down if you're caller 9 and caller 10. And good luck to you on Thursday when we do the drawing. We are back at Miller Time Pub this Friday, 4 to 6. We want to see you down there. Another road show with Hail Varsity. You missed any part of the show, the podcast is your friend, and you can check us out, hailvarsity.com. For the podcast, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app, and take us with. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies now for Blur Party Passes and Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets. Danny, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity.